just open the service by reading the word of the Lord. Let's turn to Psalms 84. Psalms 84. It's certainly good to be in the house of God, and I hope you come under expectation. We have a surprise, amen, for everybody tonight. Brother Scott Smith, the pastor there from North Carolina, happened to be in the area and drove down to be with us tonight from the Orlando area. It's so good to have him and his precious family with us. Amen. And we're just under expectation that God will just bless us in a very special way. Amen. So let's just read, amen. Psalms 84 says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart, my flesh cry out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Salah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. Amen. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Shall we bow in a word of prayer? Father, we are blessed to be able to come into the house of God tonight. We thank you for giving us a heart and mind to want to be here, and Lord, a desire to want to be here. And Father, we just believe as we come into your presence that you will meet us in a special way. God, you know the needs of the hearts here tonight, the spiritual needs, the physical needs, the emotional needs. Lord, whatever the needs are, we ask that you would meet them according to your word. And Father, we just pray that you take complete control over all that would happen here. Bless the saints that are gathered, those that are still on the way, give traveling mercies to, and those, God, that are joining us online. Pray that you would speak to each one in their own individual ways. Be glorified, exalted, magnified in this place. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
We have come into his house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house. We have gathered in his name to worship him. Oh, we have come into his house. We have gathered in his name to worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship him. Oh, worship Christ our Lord. Come into his house, oh, in his name to worship him. Yes, we have come into his house, and we have gathered in his name to worship him. Yes, we have come into his house, and we have gathered in his name to worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship him, oh, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is Lord, oh, Lord, and he has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Oh, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
We have come into his house, gathered in his name.
Oh, we have come into his house. Oh, we have gathered in his name to worship him. Lord, we have come into this house, and we have gathered in his name to worship him. Oh, for we have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship him, oh Jesus Christ our Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He's certainly worthy to be praised. Amen. Let's sing another song here of worship. I believe this song, I'm amazed that he loves me. I'm amazed that he cares. Amen.
I'm amazed, oh, that you love me. Oh, I'm amazed how you care. Oh, through your precious blood I found pardon, and my sins are washed. They are all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away. Sing it now. Oh, I'm amazed, oh, that you love me. Yes, I am, God. I'm amazed how you care. It's through your precious blood that I found pardon, and my sins are all, oh, they are all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away. Say, I'm amazed, hallelujah, that you love me. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I'm amazed, hallelujah, how you care. And it's through your precious blood that I found pardon. Oh, and my sins are washed. They are all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away. Come on, one more time with all your heart. Oh, Lord, I'm amazed that you love me. Oh, yes, I am. And I'm amazed. Oh, how you care. And it's through your precious blood that I found pardon. Oh, and my sins are washed. They are all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed. They are all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed. Oh, they are all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Just give me. Early this morning, I was teaching, and we were studying the book of Revelation, chapter 5. And as I was just going through that chapter and just some of the points that Brother Branham was bringing out, one of the key things is just recognizing what the blood of Jesus has actually done for us. Sometimes I think we don't reflect on it enough. But he was just sharing how the blood actually restored everything that Adam lost has been given back to us since Jesus died on the cross. And sometimes we fall short of what God has for us. Amen. And, you know, his plans that he has for us. But sometimes just reflecting and just thinking about what the blood has done, you don't have to accept anything that the devil just gives you. Amen. I was reading a quote, Brother Random say, Adam didn't have to be sick. Adam didn't have to be tired. Adam didn't have to go to funeral services. Adam didn't have to, you know, I mean, you just name about all the negative things that we go through, all the stress that Adam didn't have stress, right? You just think about that. But that's what the blood came to take us back to that place where Adam didn't have no worries. Adam wasn't worried about how the bills was going to get paid. You just think about it, church. That was not Adam's condition. And as the bride of Jesus Christ, he has restored us back to this place, amen, that Adam lost. So, amen, I'm determined to walk in that. Amen, I'm determined to walk in that. Praise the Lord. Just a couple announcements that we'll make mention of. Amen. And we will prepare to receive our precious brother Scott. Some of you all may know Brother Sherman. He's come to visit us, I think, once or twice, and he comes down from Virginia, and he often comes to the meetings there in St. Augustine. I mean, every year you see Brother Sherman there. And but Brother Sherman called me up on yesterday. He says, Brother Jack said, y'all having service on tomorrow night? I said, yes, we having service. I thought he was going to surprise him and say, I'll be there. And he say, Brother Scott, the one I've been telling you about, he say, he's in Florida. I say, is he? And he say, he's on vacation in Florida. I say, okay. And he say, he's in Orlando area, and he's looking for a place to go on Wednesday night. I say, okay, he can come and be with us. And he was just telling me, say, well, y'all will be blessed. I said, well, we'll be looking forward to it. And sometimes God just know how to give you just what you need when you need it. So, amen. I believe God got something special in store for us tonight. Amen. Don't forget, we'll be having service on Sunday, amen, 10:30 a.m. And we'll continue our streaming through both Twitter and Facebook. So keep that in mind. And also, we have a combined services for all the churches in this area. We have not been able to do that since the outbreak of COVID. And this will be the first time that we are coming back together. And what we're trying to do, amen, in all honesty, church, is I don't know about you, but I've been missing having meetings. I've been missing that, just having meetings, you know, with the other believers. And I believe there's a lot of other saints been feeling the same way, just missing that meeting atmosphere. It's one thing when we come together, but it's a whole nother thing when everybody come together. And so what we were just trying to pray over some things, and I was talking with Brother Westcott. I said, you know, what would be good is that let's, you know, rather than try to have a big meeting, because every time I go to South Carolina, everybody's saying, when y'all going to do something in Florida? When y'all going to do something? Like, I don't know. But you know, there's some things in the works, and we'll let you know about it. But I said, before we do that, maybe we should just have a meeting just amongst ourselves. And let's just see how it all works out. You know, just do a couple of those amongst ourselves. Let's see how it all works out. And I know that, you know, I've made mention to the pastor. I said, you're going to have some saints that's going to feel comfortable with masks. Some that feel comfortable without the mask. I say, it's quite all right. Let everybody come as they feel, right? We're not putting no mandates on anybody. Just everybody come as they feel. But we just want to be able to get together again. Praise the Lord. That's our desire. So this will be our first time. May 30th will be our first time to be held at Brother Gene's church. And we're just looking forward to what God has in store. Amen. For that meeting. And following that will be annual. I might as well say that. But our church picnic is going to be held the next day. Amen. Memorial Day. We'll be doing a church picnic on Monday, May 31st, starting at 11 a.m. And that'll be done at Haverhill Park, which is right down the street here, just south here. The church there at Haverhill and Belvedere is where the park is located. So we'll be looking forward to that. Amen. As far as our giving is concerned, everyone has the opportunity to give, whether you are inside the building or online. If you're in the building, we have a wooden box that's on the table. As you're exiting, you can just put your offering inside that wooden box. Those that are online, you can give either through PayPal or through Cash App. If you decide to use Cash App, our handle is $SpiritandTruthT. You can use that just to send it here, tithing or offering. And then also, if you want to use PayPal, we ask that you choose the option, give to a friend, a family member, and the email address that you will use for that is giving@john423.org. If you're not comfortable with giving online, you also have the ability to mail your offering in. And those that have chosen that selection, we certainly appreciate you. Everything that you give is helping this ministry continue to, amen, go forward. A lot of ministries did not make it through COVID, but we thank God. God has kept these doors open, amen, and God has blessed, amen. So we certainly appreciate the Lord. And we appreciate you for your giving. Amen. God bless you. So let's pray, amen, over the giving, amen, at this time. Amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have now to give. Lord, as we just look back and see the many blessings that you have given to us, even during the midst of this pandemic. I know some saints that have received new jobs, some businesses that have received new clients. God, you have proven yourself over and over again to the people. And God, through you giving to them, they give to the church, and the ministries continue to flourish, God, even during this critical time period. So, Father, we pray that as we give tonight, that you would use it for the furtherance of your kingdom and continue, Father, to bless the people. Do the exceeding abundant above all we can ask a thing. And as we prepare our hearts to receive the word of the Lord tonight, we pray that you would use your servant, Lord, precious Brother Scott Smith, as he comes. Thank you for the sacrifice that he made just to drive this way, Lord, and just be a part of this service. And I ask, oh God, that you just bless him abundantly, and may you just use him in a special way as he comes to bring the word of God tonight. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand to our feet and sing this song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, as our precious brother Scott Smith would come, amen, from Lenoir, North Carolina. Amen.
Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, hey, that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, oh, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Oh, amazing grace, oh, how sweet the sound, yes, that
they can see tonight. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thankful for the grace of God. Where would we be? Oh, praise the Lord. Well, God bless you, saints. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight and to meet you. I don't... looking for familiar faces, and I see a few right here. God bless you. Amen. I believe we're of the same spirit. It's sure good to be here to finally connect with your pastor, and he's everything I've heard and more. So I just appreciate him tonight. So God bless you. Brother Sherman Davis said to please greet the people tonight. So he said just a little while ago, he said, be sure to tell them hello. So those of you that know him, he sure sends his greetings to you tonight. God bless you. I'll not tarry tonight. We'll get right into the word. I appreciate the music, the song service, and we're just, amen, always looking for more, aren't we? Amen, always looking for just more of the Lord. Let's take our Bibles, if we can, tonight and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Revelation, chapter 22. Just a real familiar place. And just have a little thought, a little simple thought on my heart tonight, and trust that we'll be able to say something that would help you. Revelation, chapter 22. Going to read just one verse tonight. That would be verse number 17. Verse 17. Have that, maybe just say amen. Amen. Revelation 22 and 17. Could we just bow our hearts tonight and speak to the Lord? Father, oh God, so, Lord, good to be in your presence tonight. Lord, just to fellowship, to hear the Lord, the singing, and Lord, just to feel a welcome spirit here tonight. Lord, we would pray as we've come. It's midweek, and Lord, no doubt the people are, Lord, they've worked, and they've done their different activities and things, Lord. But today, tonight, we've set this time aside, Lord, to come to your house and together. And Lord, we're just asking tonight for a special blessing. Lord, we're asking, God, it's not beyond your measure, but we're asking that you'd speak to every heart here tonight, Lord. Lord, if there would be a need, I'm asking, God, that you would just, Lord, just minister to that one tonight. Lord, if there'd be a physical healing that's needed, God, Lord, a spiritual healing, a mental healing, God. Lord, we're calling on the one that can make a difference, Lord. And we're just asking you to have your way. Speak to our hearts. Lord, just bring us closer to you, we pray. We ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Revelation 22 and 17. How many is thankful for the word tonight and the revelation of God and just his word in this hour? We can never underestimate revelation and the power of revelation. I told the church just recently back home, I said, you know, revelation in my terms, revelation is getting the original mind of God out of the word. In other words, when God placed that word here in the Bible, the original intent and the original purpose and meaning, amen, revelation brings that out, amen. And it's a powerful thing. You actually see the original intent that God had in placing that there. Amen. Revelation brings that out to us. Amen. Revelation 22 and 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. May God add his blessings. You can be seated tonight. I want to speak to you just for a few minutes this evening, if we could, from this verse 17. And I want to, if we would title it tonight, I want to title this, The Bride's Attitude, or The Attitude of the Bride. Can somebody say amen? You know, when you think of attitude, it's a powerful thing. Even naturally, when you look at attitude, how that it affects so many aspects of our life. Of course, it'll make an employee a better employee. it'll make a boss a better boss. Are you with me? It helps. Attitude is proven scientifically, medically, that attitude is a difference maker. You know, I've heard it said that when things are equal, the person with the best attitude will win. When all other things are equal, the person with the best attitude will win. I've always heard it said that other things not being equal, the person with the best attitude still usually wins. Amen. In other words, it gives an advantage. Are you with me? It is always right to have the right attitude. Amen. And it's never right to have the wrong attitude. Are you with me? And so you see all of these things, and we could deal with a number of things naturally, how even down to the health, how a negative attitude, how it tears the body down, medically speaking, it weakens the body. And you know, not long ago I was looking, I had some blood work done, and one of the counts on it was a little bit off, and I began to look to see what could bring that number down, or that certain count down, and I started looking at just pressure and anxiety and you know, and all of those things, how that plays a part in your body. Your body knows that's going on, and it responds, and it begins to weaken certain things, and how that, you know, a bad attitude begins to tear down, and it begins to weaken things, and medically it's not good, and so we could look at, you know, a number of those things, and we'll just move from you know, that natural with saying this again. It's never good, it's never healthy to have a bad attitude. Amen. naturally it's good to have a good attitude. Are you with me? Now when you look and you take the prophet of God and all the things that you know when that was revealed about attitude and how he ministered on our attitude and how it determines the outcome in so many things, and how how he would tell us that in one place he says it this way. He said, "No one ever come to Christ in the right attitude, but what went away with what they asked for? No one." Now think about no one. He says no one. You'll not find one person in the scripture that ever came to God, ever came to Christ with the right attitude, that ever went away without what they had need of. Not one. It's a powerful thing. Amen. Brother Branham says, of course, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. Amen. So the attitude toward the Word, our attitude toward the Word as the Word is coming forth, amen, often determines what will happen. Amen. In any given service. Amen. At any given time. Amen. He taught us, amen, when you study all of, of what the prophet said about attitude, he taught us that our attitude toward one another is actually our attitude toward God. Now some people, you see, they have a sorry attitude, but they play spiritual. But let me tell you something tonight. Amen. According to the prophet of God, our attitude toward others is our attitude toward God. It's not a switch that we turn on and off. Amen. We're not a double-minded people. Amen. We really don't have a double attitude tonight. Amen. We've got one single attitude, and that attitude determines, amen, the outcome of most things that take place. Amen. So our attitude toward one another, he would even bring it down, your attitude towards your spouse. Oh, can I get a witness tonight? Amen. Is your attitude toward, amen, toward Christ? Amen. Our attitude one to one another, see, is our real attitude. I remember years ago, amen, we had a sister that she had a little gift in her life and could play music and things and could have been a real blessing, but she just had a real lousy attitude. And so she when she played, she wanted everybody to listen to her, and when she would sing, everybody hear her. But what happened? People began to she began to lose influence, and people's confidence in her was lowered because outside of the piano and outside of that gift, she had just a poor attitude. And so the people, they came to me and said, well, why are the people not receiving me? I said, well, you got to understand something. They recognize that attitude. You won't hardly speak to nobody when this church service is over. You just ignore the other sisters. Come on. Oh my, you just go on, you've got some, and then you want to play spiritual and act spiritual and have somebody to receive that. Amen. But listen, saints of God. And I told her, I said, it don't work that way. I said, your attitude will repel people. That attitude, listen, the bride's attitude is an attraction. Oh, listen, the spirit and the bride say, come. See, there is a drawing power. There's a drawing attitude inside this bride. Amen. She draws people to them. She's not looking to put people away. Amen. There's a draw with this bride. There's life in this bride. There's a pull with this bride. She's not repelling. Amen. Her attitude is not pushing people away. She's drawing them to Christ. She's pulling them to the Lord. Oh, we're seeing one of the final moves of the bride in Revelation 22. And she's got a spirit on her that says, come. She's got a spirit that's, amen, that's becoming to something that is desired. Oh, not just, Oh, not pushing. Oh, I don't want a spirit that repels people. I don't want to be that guy that, oh, they don't want to talk to. Amen. That one that they can't have a conversation with, but I want a spirit that would attract, amen, somebody to the Lord. Amen. That when you get done talking to them, they want more of the Lord. Not more of you. Amen. But they want more of the Lord. Amen. They see something in you. Amen. An attitude. Amen. Of godliness. See. Oh, are you with me? Oh, we're talking about a real attitude. Amen. A right attitude. The prophet of God told us that right attitude, that right approach. It'll move God. It'll move him every time. Oh, hallelujah. I'm thinking of that Syrophoenician woman. How she came to Christ. Remember now, her approach was a little off. At first, when she called on him as son of David. But as a Syrophoenician woman, she had no claims on him as son of David. Is that right? Amen. She came to as a Gentile. She had no claims that way. Amen. Her approach is wrong. She's coming now. Now, deep down in, she's right. Let's put it where it is. Deep down in, we find out in the heart of hearts. Thank you, brother. In the heart of hearts, we know that this sister is really right. But I want you to notice, amen, the wrong approach. It didn't matter how right she was in her seed life, amen, or the deepest part of her, amen. When she come with the wrong approach, the Bible said he didn't answer her, brother. Amen. Never answered her a word. She come, oh, son of David. See, she had no claims on him that way. Didn't matter what. Hey, come on. Amen. You got no claims on him that way. And remember, the disciples begin to say, send her away. She's troubling us. And amen. And finally, remember, amen, she called on him and she said, Lord, Lord. Oh, have mercy. Come on. Lord. Amen. At that moment, amen, that approach was different. Amen. And she got an immediate response from him. Amen. Because now her approach was aligned, amen, with who she really is. Listen, bride, I tell you, he'll never deal with you outside of the capacity of who you really are. Amen. You can't come to him as something else. Amen. If you're a believer, you come to him as a believer. Amen. If you're the bride, you come to him as a bride. Amen. Otherwise, he'll stay silent. Oh, but I tell you, when we find that channel, amen, we find that approach, amen, and we come, amen, as who we are. I'm telling you, he's there to answer that need. Oh, she come. All right. When she said, Lord, he said, oh, my. See, she was now coming with the right approach. Lord, see, you see these people today, they're Gentiles, and they want to act all Jewish and do all. Listen, if you're a Gentile, you got to come to him that way. Are you with me? If you're a believer, you got to come to him that way. If you come to him posing as an unbeliever, you're probably not going to get far with him. He may know deep down. He knows all things. He knows deep down in, but you got to come to him in the capacity that he's called you to. And listen, as the bride of Jesus Christ, amen, there is a capacity that we're in tonight, a capacity that you've been called to, amen, and your approach to him comes that way. Amen, and that's where help comes from. Oh, my. Listen, see, we're living in an hour. It's prophetic, amen, of another attitude. There's an attitude on the overall population of the world. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul would tell us about it. He would say it this way. I had it. He would say it this way in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now, Paul is showing you the attitude of the end time. He's showing you the attitude of the general population. Now, this is not just a spirit on a small minority of people, amen, but this is the description of the last day population. There's more of them with this than there are without it. In other words, this is the attitudes that you come in contact with every day. Every day at work, every day at school, everywhere you go, this is the attitude that we're dealing with. Amen. He would say they would have they would be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Now he would tell us that this is the mannerism of the last day. Now you see, this is where we got to be careful, because it's so easy when you're around that all day and all that negativity and all of those things he described. If you're not careful, when you're around it so much, you'll start acting like that. I mean, you'll pick that up, and that negativity up, and doubt up, and the mannerism of the nation. Can you say amen? Amen. The manner, listen, over in Leviticus, amen, God was talking, amen, there in Leviticus 20, and he told the people, amen, the conditions of the day and what they were doing in their lifestyles and their marriages and such. He told them this. He said, "And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation." Leviticus 20:23, he said, "Which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them." Now, when you look at the verse before that, he actually tells them in verse 22 that he spewed them out. He uses that word spew. Amen. You'll find that he uses that in Leviticus 20. He uses it, I believe, over in Leviticus 18. In this manner, he only uses it in this manner in one other place, and that's Revelation 3. Amen. Over into Laodicea, where they're again a people that have the mannerism of the nation and not the mannerism of God. Amen. They've got the attitude of Laodicea and not the attitude of God. Amen. They've got a Laodicean attitude instead of a bride attitude. Oh, but I'm telling you, we're going to get an attitude adjustment tonight. Amen. God's going to help us tonight. Amen. We're going to cast that other thing out. Amen. Amen. God said, "I'll spew that out." See, this Brother Brown taught every nation had spirits, and they were controlled all. Even our precious America is controlled by spirit. And the media pulls the people, amen, in a designed direction, in a desired direction, are you with me, to promote whatever they want to promote. And you get caught up in that, and before long you got some old mannerism of the United States. But I'm telling you, we don't need the mannerism of the United States. We need the mannerism of another kingdom. Amen. It is the kingdom of God. Amen. Come on. It is a bride kingdom. It is a kingdom of belief. Listen, that other kingdom, there's nothing but doubt. There's nothing but death. There's nothing but sickness. Amen. But we are, amen, pulling from another kingdom tonight. And our attitude is reflecting that. Oh, hallelujah. See, it used to be that the church influenced the nation. Now there's more national or influence on the church, and the nation has influenced the church. They take on the same mindset in a lot of things, get caught up in some of the same old foolishness, amen, driven a direct opposite of the way that it should be. It should be this church penetrating that world, penetrating that system, penetrating the nation, but it's the other way around. 100 years ago, it was a little different. Are you with me? Amen. But we are of another kingdom. Amen. There's a mannerism. I'm thinking of the king's son. Amen. Oh, sold into slavery. Sold into bondage. Amen. And but you know what? This man never let that attitude. The prophet of God said never did he take on the attitude of those other people. Do you know why? He knew, amen, there was nothing they could do to change who he really was. Amen. He was a king's son. I may be surrounded by all kinds of craziness, but I'm a king's son. I might be surrounded by all kinds of negativity, but I'm a king's son. Amen. And nothing could change that. Amen. Nothing could change who he was. Amen. And his attitude, amen, reflected that. Everybody else just took on just that mindset. Well, it's not going to get any better. It's just always going to be this way. Oh my. I'm always going to have this problem. I'm just going to have to learn to live with it. Oh my, I think we need to learn to live without it. I think we need a different attitude. I think we need an attitude. I heard Pastor talking about it earlier. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ has made a way. It cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. Amen. It purchased our healing. Amen. It purchased our peace of mind. Amen. It purchased our sanity in this hour. Amen. I can't help but to walk with a positive attitude. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, purchasing power tonight. You have been purchased. Purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, that's powerful. When you think about it, when you think of that power of the purchase that he made. Oh, he purchased you. Do you know what that is? I went to the store the other day and I bought a new suit. Now, when I did that, I looked and I found one that I liked. And I took that suit up to the counter. It had a price tag on it. And I took it to the counter and I pulled my wallet out. Now what I was testifying, when them $100 bills started changing hands and it went from me to that person working there, I was testifying that suit means more to me than those bills in my pocket. I was testifying that money in my pocket, that means more to me than the money in my pocket. In other words, that $200 or $300, whatever it was, amen, that suit meant more to me than that did. I purchased it. Now when Christ purchased you, oh hallelujah, think about that. Amen. When he purchased you, he was saying, what I'm giving, amen, what I'm getting in return means more than what I'm giving. He gave his life to get your life. Amen. He was testifying, that means more to me than my own life. Oh, we're talking purchase and power of an almighty God. Oh, that he purchased you. Oh, he paid. Amen. The scripture said we were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are the Lord's. Oh my. See, I can't keep a bad attitude. Amen. I've been bought with a price. Somebody, amen, found me worthy, amen, to pay such a price, amen, to give that, amen, that I could come here not to live some life in the mully grubs. Oh, I just don't know. Oh, I want to tell you tonight, he's made a way. Oh my, I'm telling you, he's made a way. He has purchased, amen, whatever you have need of. Amen, a prophet of God said we got purchasing power. Amen, your faith, you got purchasing power tonight. Whatever you have need of, you can have that tonight. Amen, God has made a way. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, what a mighty God. Oh, mercy. Oh, how many say, God, help my attitude tonight. Oh, help me to look on that word a little different. Help me to look in the mirror a little different. Help me to look at God a little different tonight. See, there's always room to go a little higher. This is the call of the hour. Come up higher, little bride. Amen. There's always, I don't care where we are. Amen. Tonight. Amen. There's a call to come up a little higher. Amen. God is calling us in this area tonight. Come up a little higher. See, over in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, you'll find Isaiah was a prophet right out of chapter 1. He's prophesying. He's doing the things a prophet does. Is that right? He's going through the scripture. You go through the book of Isaiah, and he's a prophet. He's prophesying. He's doing all the things a prophet would do. You get to chapter 5 of Isaiah, and he goes through the 6 woes upon Israel. Woe is this. Woe is this. Are you with me? Woe is this. But in Isaiah chapter 6. Something happens. Now always was a prophet the whole time. through five chapters. Is that right? Didn't change who he was. But in Isaiah chapter 6, something happened. There was an attitude adjustment that took place. Amen. Isaiah was brought up a little higher. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Now I want you to notice this. He goes from the six woes of Israel, and woe is everything else. Woe is everybody else. Woe is this. Woe is this. Amen. To woe is me. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Amen. Not woe is everything else. Amen. But it was turned. Listen, you cannot draw closer to God without seeing yourself more. You want to see who you really are? Just draw closer to Him. See, the more you draw to Him, the closer you draw to Him, the more it'll reveal who you really are. Oh, as we draw nigh to Him. Oh, see, you can't, when you see Him, you can't help but see yourself. Amen. Can I say that again? Amen. Oh, we need this tonight. I said when we begin to see Him more and more, it will reveal ourselves to us. Are you with me? So woe is me. Amen. He went from just woe is everybody else. He had a, as Scofield would call it, this was a transforming vision. He saw Him like he had never seen Him before. Oh, see, so it had an impact. It had an everlasting impact on his life. Still a prophet going into the next chapter. Amen. None of that. His calling hadn't changed. Who he was hadn't changed. But his outlook, see. Amen. And are you with me? Amen. His outlook had been changed, see. Different attitude. Oh, my. You know, thank God. Are you with me? We're talking about an attitude that's right. Amen. A right mental attitude. See, amen. There's life in this bride. Amen. There's power. See, there's the power of life is in this bride. Can you say amen? There's life here tonight. Oh, if we could some way see it. Amen. Just if we could pull back the veil tonight, there's such a representation of life here tonight in your lives. Amen. And listen, this bride, amen, and that's where the life is at. Amen. Tonight, that there's life in this bride. We know the prophet of God said the final voice to the final age is in her. Are you with me? Amen. There's life in her. Amen. There's authority in her. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. I'm telling you, there's power in that bride tonight. She's not weak. I was reading today. I was studying, just looking at something. I'll share it with you. But out of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, amen, the Bible was talking about the unbelieving husband and the unbelieving wife. And it says it this way in 1 Corinthians 7 and 14, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. Now let that sink in a minute, because, amen, I'll tell you what just screamed out at me, and that is that the believer's righteousness is greater than the unbeliever's unrighteousness. The believer's righteousness is greater than the unbeliever's unrighteousness. So I want to say something to encourage you tonight. Amen. If you're here and the other part ain't. Amen. If you're here and there's another, I want to tell you your righteousness, your sanctification is greater than their unholy life. And according to the Word of God, your sanctification has prevailing power in it to sanctify that whole household. Amen. I want to tell the devil tonight, the righteousness of God is greater than the unrighteousness of the devil. Amen. Take that home with you. Give that to your family. The righteousness of God is greater than the unrighteousness of the devil. your righteousness. You say you don't know what they're doing. You don't know how power that's, amen, how much life you have. According to the word of God, that place is sanctified because you're there. Amen. Yeah. They're sanctified because of your righteousness. Oh, somebody help me tonight. Amen. Your sanctification, your holiness is greater than their unholiness. Your righteousness is greater than their unrighteousness. Oh, I'm talking about the power, amen, of Almighty God. Amen, that God, amen, would say, amen, that home is sanctified. Oh, hallelujah. Don't give up on your sanctification. Don't give up on your serving God. Don't give up on this message. Oh, come on. Don't give up on God. Amen. You stand. Amen. Your stand is greater than their stand. Your stand is greater than theirs. Oh, don't give up. You stand with that. Amen. You let the attitude of Christ come forth. You show love. Amen. You be salty. Amen. I tell you, that drawing power will overcome that devil every day of the week. Oh my. Oh my. God said that believer, that husband, he said that, oh hallelujah, said, oh, they're sanctified by it. You're talking about power. You're seeing something that extends. Amen. You're seeing something. He didn't just say, oh, this sanctifies you, but this sanctifies your home. Oh, I'm talking about something, amen, that comes forth from a believer's life that can change a situation. Oh my, God can turn it around, saints of God. Oh, brother, you don't know how bad it is. Oh, you don't know how sanctified you are. Oh, it looks pretty bad. Oh, no, he sanctified you pretty good. Oh, but you don't know what they're saying. Oh, you don't know how sanctified that place is. Come on, little wife. You, a lot of times, come on, husband, you might need it tonight. Amen. I'm telling you tonight. Amen. By the word of the Lord. Amen. That life and righteousness is greater than unrighteousness. Oh, there's transforming power. Oh, my, it makes me just want to have the right attitude, don't it? Oh, mercy. See, oh, my. God is good. See, God's looking at us tonight. I told somebody the other day, they said, well, they treated me just horrible. And I said, well, how did you treat them? I said, because let me tell you something, as a believer here, here's something, listen to this. I said, God's not concerned so much about how they treated you. It's how you responded. See, I said, because God may not be working on them at all, but you're his and he's working on you. And so it's not, somebody said, why aren't you going to do nothing? I said, I'm not going to do a thing. Just went through a situation. I wanted it. Now, it just ain't in my flesh to just say nothing all the time. I wasn't brought up that way. But I just recently went through something, every which way I turned. Amen. The Lord was just saying, I got this. Just in other words, just be quiet. Don't fight back. Don't do nothing. Don't, you know, and I just kept, and they were saying, oh, but they're saying this and they're saying this and they're saying that. And I said, but God, but I finally told her, but I said, the Lord's just dealt with me that he's taking care of it. He's working this out. And I said, he's looking at my attitude. He's looking at how I respond. I don't know if he'll deal with them. I pray that he does, but I know he's dealing with me. And if I've got anything in me that's going to display a bad attitude, then he's got to get that out of me. See, we find out that it comes down to, see, it's you and God. It's you and God. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He said, I sought the Lord thrice, that the Lord might deliver him. And finally, the Lord dealt with him and told Paul, he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. Is that right? for in weakness there's strength. And so Paul, you'll notice something here. He never mentions that thorn again. You never hear him talk about it again. Because he come to terms that this is not about me and the devil. This is about me and God. This is about God dealing with me. God is using this to deal with me. Come on, help me, son. Don't sit down on me. Amen. And Paul said, well, praise God, I'll glory in the infirmity. And he realized it's not a fight with me and the devil. See, he wanted to know how should I continue? Should I keep resisting the devil and find? He let him know, Paul, this ain't about the devil. Come on. See, when it gets to, are you with me? Abraham and Isaac, when God told him to take his only son, it really wasn't about Isaac. It was about God and Abraham. Abraham, what are you going to do? See, are you going to follow me? It wasn't about Isaac at all. Listen, Esau and Jacob, it wasn't really about Esau at all. Remember, amen, Jacob had met the angel of the Lord, wrestled with him all night. You remember that? Wrestles with him, and finally touches his thigh. And he changes his name. See, there was a prince in him. See, it was, Esau was just something he used. It was really about God and Jacob. It was really about, or get more, it was really God and Israel. It was really, there was a prince in him that needed to be brought out. There was, are you with me? Amen. There was a prince laying in there that had to be brought out. I tell you, bride of the last day, there's a princess laying in there, amen, that's got to be brought out. She's got to be brought to the front court, amen. There's a little bride, there's a little princess in there that God's pulling out tonight. God's bringing that out. We may get hit with some and have to limp a little bit. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, it's not about all of the situations. It's about you and God. It's about you and Him. It's about your relationship with Christ. All of those other things are just working to bring you to that place that it's really me and Him. Isaac had his purpose. Amen. But go to the hill. Go to all of that really had to do with God and Abraham. Oh, bride. There's a little princess. She ain't at Disney. She's at West Palm Beach tonight. There may be some of them over in Orlando, but listen, amen, I'm talking about a little princess tonight. Amen, that God's working to pull that out of her. Amen, God's working, God's speaking, amen, amen, to a bride to bring that out, bring that to the forefront. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, do you love Him tonight? Amen. It is our attitude in these things. Amen. You think of God's attitude toward His bride. Is that right? You think about His attitude toward us. It never changes. Good thoughts He has for you. The Bible says daily, He loadeth us with blessings. Come on. He never cops an attitude with us. He's told us in this age that you never did it in the first place. So, oh, come on. See, His attitude is unchanging. We talked about the purchase and power. Amen. Purchased us, bought us. Won't lose the one. One might get marred up somewhere along the way. One might go through a little dirtier path, but I'm here to tell you, amen, at the end of the day, amen, he loses not one. Not that we can rest in that tonight. We can rest in the fact that he will not lose a one. I'm a pastor, but I'm like your pastor. I do half a dozen other things. He came over to the hotel today, and right when I looked at him, I looked at his shirt. I said, "Man, me and him's more alike than we're not." I said, "He's running around working, and well, I'm an insurance agent, brother. No kidding. I've got two full time jobs and work plenty of overtime in both of them. I'm a pastor, and I'm an insurance agent." Now, if you were in North Carolina today, you'd probably seen a Progressive shirt on me. We're like Superman, though. Wednesday at 5 o'clock, we run out of there. Progressive goes off. Tie, shirt comes on. Tie comes on. Different man. Oh, mercy. See, them congregations, they have no excuses like that. See, I tell mine on Wednesday night I work too. But you know, I'm an insurance agent. And we see, you know, all kinds of things, and we don't work the claim side, but I don't. But we help our clients, you know, manage claims and file claims. Well, I've got a particular client. Had her and her husband for a number of years. Very nice people, wealthy, somewhat wealthy back in our area, but just a great spirit on this couple. Well, the man, the husband, they're up, you know, in their 60s. He got sick, and it was terminal, and He'd been wanting to do it for some time, but he took several pieces of jewelry, rings, different things that he had, and he wanted to make his wife a certain ring, comprised of several things, I guess, that he'd gotten her over the years, and he took it to a jeweler in town, and so they made the ring. He was able to give it to her before he passed away. And this ring was $65,000 or $70,000 ring. And so no cheap ring. And so she called me, and once she got the ring, and she said, "Well, I need this thing insured. I don't want to, just have regular insurance that won't pay but a couple thousand dollars on jewelry." And I said, "Well, sure, no problem." I told her what to do. You know, we had to have an appraisal that was within just a month or two, and those kind of things, and some photos and things. Real simple process. And we got it, and we insured the ring. She said there's no price, that could replace it. She said it's so special. And she was telling me the background of it and what he did. And, of course, then he passed away. And so we insured that ring. Well, several months later, literally just several months later, it can always happen in the insurance business. But several months later, I get a phone call, and it's Gail, and she said, "Scott," she said, and I could tell her in a voice that she was broken in her voice. She said, "I need help." She said, "I've got a problem," and I said, "What?" And she said, "The ring." She said, "The ring Jim bought me that we just insured." She said, "It's gone." And I said, "Well, what do you mean it's gone?" And she had a safe and things there at the house. And she said, "It's gone." She said, "I have turned the place." She said, "It actually happened, a week or so back." And said, "I've just been waiting. I've been hunting and searching. I've had my children over searching. And we were looking everywhere." And she said, "It's nowhere to be found." She said, "I filed a police report." She said, "But I need to file a claim. I don't know what else to do. It's gone, and so I'm going to have to turn this in." And so I said, "Okay, I understand." And so we filed out the paperwork, and we filed a claim on this, and this, of course, this type of policy. There's no deductible. The premium she pays kind of covers that. And so they're on it. They're going to have to just cut a check for this after they do their little investigation. And so she's heartbroken. And so I was talking to her and I said, well, you know, has anybody been in your home? And she said, well, she said, you know, honestly, she said, no, but I said, I had a couple contractors over. She said, I was doing some landscaping outside and there was some wiring and lights that needed to be done. And they had to bring in an electrician. And so we had the landscaper and the electrician there. And she said, but they were outside the whole time. She said, the only time anybody come in my house, she said, was one of the electrician guys came into the house and said, I took him right to a little panel box. She said, it was right in front of the house. She said, my bedroom is, she's got a sprawling house. She said, my bedroom, of course, is at the very back of the house. Said this man never went past the front room where that panel box was. And I said, wow. And so anyway, we filed the claim and they're processing it. And about a week or so passes by, and she maybe 2 weeks. And they're right at the point of they're cutting the check and going to have to send the money for this ring. And she called. She called me back. And this time her voice was different. She was happy. She was just you could tell. I didn't know what had happened, but I could tell that this was a different person that I was talking to. She said, you are not going to believe this. And I said, well, try me. I said, tell me, I can't wait. Tell me what's going on. She said, you will not believe this. She said, you could not make this up. And I said, well, tell me. And she said, my ring. She said, I'm sitting here with it right now. I said, you're kidding. She said, oh no, she's crying tears of joy. She said, I got that back. She said, there's no money. She said, there is no money that could have ever replaced that. She said, I got my ring back. She said, let me tell you the story. She said, I told you that one person come in that house. Let me tell you something. It doesn't take the devil much. Doesn't take much. Just a little room. She said, that electrician, she said, that come into my house that I took right just to the front panel. She said, I want you to know what happened. She said, I got a call. She said, and what happened was, she said, that electrician come in there to that panel, and he'd come in there one more time without me knowing, and just the mind of a thief, I guess, went straight back to her bedroom. Just so happens the ring is laying on the dresser. I'm going somewhere. Just stay with me. The ring was laying on the dresser. He snatched that ring, went out of there several days before she noticed it, but he took that ring. Now I want you to watch how she got it back. He waited several days, had that ring, and he tried to figure out where he could get the full value for it. You'll never guess where he ended up. He went right back or right to the jeweler that had designed the ring, that had made the ring. And so, are you with me? When he came in with the ring, he comes in and he tells the jeweler, the main man there that owns the place, he said, I've got a ring. We've fallen on hard times. And he said, my wife, we're willing to give it up. And said, I've brought this and I want to see what my top dollar would be on it. Well, when he handed it to the man, he didn't take but one look. He looked at it and he said, well, that's a nice one. He said, boy, you got a nice one. He said, I tell you what, that's one more piece of jewelry. He said, let me step right back here to the back. He said, and let me look at a few things. He said, I feel like you're going to get more than you ever imagined. He said that guy's eyes were open. He said, he's smiling. He said, you think? He said, I think you're going to get a lot more than you thought you were going to get for. He said, this is a real piece of jewelry. And he slipped right back there. Amen. He picked up the phone and he called Gail. He said, Gail, He said, are you missing something by any chance? She said, what in the world would make you ask? He said, well, I'm sitting here holding. And she began to cry. She began to just cry. And she said, that's my... He said, I know it is. I'm the one that made it. He said, there's a guy in here. And he told him, he said, I'll take care of it. He said, you come down here in about a half an hour and I got your ring. Amen. He picked up the next phone call he made was called the local police department. He said, so he goes back out there and he waits just another minute. He goes back out there with a smile on his face and he tells the man, he says, man, you know, this is payday. You're, and he said, this guy, he's all excited. And he said, what do you think? You know, what do you think I'm going to get? He said, right there is what you're going to get. And about that time, four police officers walked in. Amen. They already had already told him the story and they handcuffed that man and they took him out of there. Now I want you to think of this. Amen. Now the devil thought he was doing something. Amen. He slipped in there. Amen. He got something that was very valuable. He got something that was very valuable. It wasn't his to begin with. It was not his to begin with. Amen. And he took that thing. Amen. And he went out. But I want you to notice he couldn't help. It was just divine. He could not help. Amen. He brought it right back. Amen. To the one that designed it. He brought it right back to the one that made it. Come somebody say amen. Oh, I like this part even better. Amen. When she went to pick that ring up, she said, oh God, she said, it's never been the monetary value of it. She said, but has it lost any value now that it's been in his hands? He said, oh no. He said, it ain't lost. Matter of fact, I just reappraised it. It's gone up in value a little bit. Oh, somebody help me. I tell you what, the devil thinks he got something over on him. Amen. But with a real purchased child of God, he can only bring him right back. Amen. To the one that made him. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you what, you're more precious than gold, little bride. Amen. You're more precious than gold. God ain't lost a one. Amen. It'll come right back to him in the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. It might have went through that old devil's hand. He might have put his hand on something, amen, that wasn't his. But I tell you what, it's coming back. It's coming back in the name of the Lord. It's coming back to its rightful owner. And it ain't lost no value. It's lost no value. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I could take off in another language. I'm telling you. Amen. It ain't lost no value tonight. Oh, she said it means more to me now. You know what she said? She said they'll never get a chance to do that again. Oh, that old devil will never get that chance again. Oh, mercy. I'm telling you. Oh, I'm thinking of a little woman one time caught in the very act of adultery. They thought they were going to take her. They were going to get her judged. They were going to set the Lord up at the same time. They come to him, throw her down, begin to say, what would Moses do? Oh, come on. They thought they were setting him up, but he was setting her up. Come on. They thought they were setting the Lord up, but he was setting her up. And they brought her right back to the place that they thought she would be condemned. They brought her to the very one. Now remember what he told them. He said, you that have not sinned, cast the first stone. And the Bible says their own conscience, amen, their conscience begin to condemn them and convict them. Amen. And by the elder to the younger, they begin to walk and to begin to leave. And they left her there with the only one qualified to throw a stone, and he didn't. The only one qualified at that point to judge her. And he said, I find no fault. He said, I neither, amen, go and sin no more. Come on. Amen. They thought, oh, hallelujah. They thought, amen, they were going to set him up. Amen. But he was just using that, amen, to bring her right back to the place that she belonged. purchased, little bride. Oh, God. How can we not want to serve him? How can we not want to give him our all? He would never let those Pharisees change his attitude. He would never let them change his position. The whole church pointing and saying it should be one way. And he stood right. He would not allow the influence of anything to change his direction. Oh, what a God. What a God. A God. The epitome of a perfect attitude. Everything he displayed. Everything he manifested. Oh, how about it, bride? Now, we're not talking about the attitude of the world. And we're not talking about the attitude of the denominational church. But we're talking about the attitude of a real, genuine believer tonight. It should be an inviting one. It should be one. Oh, that just draws. It's an attraction. You ever seen those people, maybe even in just a workplace, they may not even be believe. They just have an attitude. And I'm not talking about something just fleshly or sensual, but they have an attitude that draws you. Hey, I want to be around them. They make me better. Right? You know the old saying, if you want to succeed, surround yourself with successful people. Now, an attitude of a believer that other people want to draw from, that other people felt almost magnetized to. Not a starchy, formal, standoffish, or a mannerism of this age or nation, but just genuine believers. Just the bride of Jesus Christ. How many's thankful you've been purchased tonight? How many's thankful for Christ tonight? Oh, he did it for you. He did it for you. See, the devil thought he had one, but God said, no. No, I made them. I made them. I ordained them. I planned this for them. Can we stand our feet tonight? Oh, if you've been redeemed, will you give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight? Oh, I mean really purchased tonight and you've recognized it. Oh, will you give him praise tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, musicians, if you'd come tonight. Just another minute and we'll turn it over to your pastor. Musicians, if you'd come. Could we just sing a little chorus? Draw me near, I am thine, O Lord. Do we know that one? Yeah. How many of that would be your prayer tonight? Just draw me. Can we put that up there? If you'd. Oh, draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Sing that chorus. thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer. Oh, as we sing it tonight, how many would just lift their hand up and say, Lord, let my attitude be right. Oh, draw me nearer. Oh, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Oh, draw me near.
To thy precious bleedings. Second verse. Oh, consecrate me now to thy service, Lord. By the power of grace, oh, and let my soul look up with a steadfast hope. And my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, draw me near. Oh, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Yes, draw me nearer, oh, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Tell you, certainly it was worth pressing our way out to the house of the Lord tonight. And I believe we all leave here our hearts drawn a little closer to the Lord Jesus, the attitude of the bride. And this is one that we certainly want to go back and listen to, as much as we can. And I'm just grateful that our precious brother Scott just saw fit to take time from his vacation, drive 2.5 hours down here to minister the word of the Lord to us. And this is what I call a life-changing sermon, right? A life-changing sermon. And, you know, thinking about some of the things that we talked about on Sunday, as far as, you know, I was reading a quote where Brother Randall was talking about, you know, you just have to be who God made you. And I was saying, though, that there's some things in us that we know we got to work on. And the word has a way of just working these things out. So he comes right back and just kind of connects that. And I'm taking that 1 Corinthians 7:14, taking that one with me. Your righteousness is greater than their unrighteousness. Your holiness is greater than their unholiness. No matter what you see, what you fail to see is who you are, right? And as he was just kind of going through that, there was a couple situations that came to mind there. And you all remember Brother Branham talking about the drunks that was in the bar, and talking about who was a real Christian, who wasn't. And the one man said, my wife is a real Christian. Her righteousness was greater than their unrighteousness. Her holiness was greater than their unholiness, because the end of the story is that they got saved, not she backslid. Right? Hallelujah. I think about Hattie Wright. Her righteousness was greater than her son's unrighteousness.
both boys, right? And by her requesting the salvation of those boys, she got exactly what she asked for. Church, we got to recognize who we are. Amen. Your God is greater. Your God is stronger. Your God is more powerful than any other. And your God lives on the inside of you. So that was a blessing to my soul tonight. I am grateful that I came to church. And that testimony of the stolen jewelry there, man, that's going to be one that we're going to hold on to, brother. That was powerful. You know, God just knows how to do things. He's an awesome God. He's a right God. And what you need to do is just have the right attitude when you're serving him. He's got everything under control. Amen. Let's pray, church. Let's pray. Amen. How we just appreciate the Lord tonight. Father, we are certainly grateful for what we have heard here. God, in this place, thank you for using your servant, helping him get himself out of the way that he could just bring the word of truth, a word of encouragement, a word of strength, Lord, to the believers here. And God, we leave here with our attitudes adjusted, absolutely adjusted by the Holy Ghost. Lord, realizing that no matter what it is that we're facing in our homes, God, that our righteousness is actually greater than all the unrighteousness that we see around us. And it's our righteousness that will cause those things to come under subjection. So, Lord, help us to just rise up and be who we are in you. And, Lord, may we walk in this and realize that the attitude of the bride is a bride. We are people that are inviting. We are people that are open. God, we are a people, Lord, that say, come. The spirit in the bride says, come. He that's athirst, let him come, God. And Father, we want to have the right attitude to be able to invite others to come into your presence, Lord, that they want to follow us to church. Lord, that when they see us out in the streets, see us on the job, see us in school, see us wherever, God, that they'll know that these are genuine Christians. These are people that are real. Father, help us to be like that. Lord, don't let it just be a sermon that went in one ear and out the other, Lord, and cause us to rejoice a little bit. But, Lord, let it be applied to our lives. And, God, that we would see where the Spirit is dealing with us in certain areas and be willing to yield those areas to you, God. Father, we commit ourselves to you, Lord, even at this moment. Pray that you bless, especially, Lord, Brother Scott, Lord, and God, his family, that you would just restore and give back to them, Lord, all that has been given to come to this place tonight, Lord. And just ask that you just remember every need that they would have, oh God, and bless them abundantly, Father, is our prayer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And did Brother Frankie make it? Praise the Lord. Just a quick testimony, Brother Sherman had told me that Brother Scott had a little issue with his vehicle, and just kind of came out of nowhere as he was coming down here, and he says, he asked me, so you know a mechanic that can get things taken care of? I said, brother, I know a brother in our church that maybe he can just take a quick look at it and see if we can get it done. And I called Brother Frankly, got in touch with him about 9:30 last night. So Brother Frankie told him the situation, said, could you just maybe come after work and just take a look at Brother Scott's vehicle? And he says, yes, I'll come and I'll be happy to do it. And Brother Frankie made it there. They got in town about 5:00. Brother Frankie made it there, did whatever he needed to do, and Brother Scott made it here to church. So I'm grateful for just the saints that the Lord has blessed the church with. I'm grateful. And y'all just be in prayer. Brother Frankie and Sister Gina are trying to find them a place here in West Palm. They live up there in Port St. Lucie, about 45 minutes away, but they want to be here. See, our life has got to be centered around what happens at the church, right? Don't get further away from the church, right? Because the devil going to get you out on a limb, and now you ain't going to be able to get back to church. But try to find something right in the church. I was right near the church telling a brother years ago, there was a scripture that came to me, Deuteronomy 28, I believe I was reading, and the Bible says, I will be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming out, blessed going in. You know, and I started reading that, and then it just kind of struck me. The Lord said, I'll be blessed in my city. What that meant to me is that I didn't have to leave my city to get blessed. I can be blessed in my city. And if the devil telling you that you got to leave here to get blessed, tell the devil he's a liar. The Bible says I'll be blessed in this city. I don't care how expensive it is to live here. I'm going to still be blessed. So I want to just give y'all that. But y'all pray for Brother Frankie, amen, and Sister Gina. They really want to be closer. And God just doing some amazing things in our midst. That's all I can say. And I just appreciate him. So y'all be seated. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. And amen. And you all keep the Smith family in prayer as they make their way back towards Orlando. And then they'll be going back to North Carolina on Saturday. Keep them in the church in prayer. Amen. Lighthouse of Lenore. And Brother Scott was telling me the testimony of the church. They put a lighthouse. They brought it from out of nowhere. And he saw this thing. He was taking a trip to go preach. And he said, where'd that lighthouse come from? He said, that lighthouse gave him inspiration. It's going to be Lighthouse of Lenore, of the name of the church. And he just took that by inspiration. And they called it. That's what they called it. And a few years later, a minister passed through that was coming from, I guess he spoke French. And I think he was overseas and he spoke French. And he says, Lighthouse of Lenore. He said, that's pretty amazing. He says, because in French, Lenore means darkness. That's what Lenore means. But this is the lighthouse of darkness. In the midst of darkness, is light is still shining. Right? I said, well, God know how to do things. So we just appreciate the Lord. God bless you, church. Amen. We'll dismiss. The brothers will come at this time. God bless you.